Hello, and welcome to French Tech News with Chris O'Brien and Ethan Pierce, a podcast and clubhouse series highlighting important stories in the world of France's startups, its entrepreneurs, investors, and ecosystem leaders. Please join us on Monday and Thursday evenings Paris time on Clubhouse, and regularly during the week as we publish those events and other exclusive interviews to this podcast. Today, we have another great Clubhouse discussion, this time with Serena Capital operating partner David Bitton, to chat about Serena's recent close of its 300 million euro Fund 3, as well as the role of an operating partner and how he sees that role in accompanying and adding value to their portfolio startups. Welcome our guest this evening, David Bitton, operating partner at Serena Capital, as well as my co-host, VentureBeat's Chris O'Brien, to talk about their most recent fund and his role as an operating partner. We will also chat afterwards about Sorare raising $50 million for its blockchain-based soccer digital playing card platform from notable investors Alexis Ohanian, founder of Reddit, Initialized Capital, and now 776, as well as Antoine Greitzman. So to get started, welcome, David.
Good evening. Hi, Ethan. Hi, Chris. And good evening, everyone.
And welcome, Chris.
Oh, thank you, Ethan, for that introduction. And David, thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to speak with you. I'm wondering if we can just start by recapping very briefly the big news that Serena had this week. You guys have raised your third fund for 300 million euros. My understanding is that was quite oversubscribed in terms of the interest, so congratulations. Can you just summarize for us a little bit about what this means for Serena going forward in terms of investment possibilities and how the firm will continue to expand?
Well, that's indeed very good news for us. And that's also a lot of work that has been done during the recent years. So yes, we've raised 300 million euros. And what it means to us is that the model is working. So definitely that's very good news because we're going to keep on investing on early stage startups in Europe. And the model with the invest and the operating seems to be working quite well because it's been oversubscribed, as you've just said. And we are very happy. We can move on supporting entrepreneurs with SaaS models, with a consumer marketplace regarding deep tech, data and AI, fintech, insurtech. Those are the sectors where we're focusing on.
And of course, as you mentioned, Serena, among that focus is early stage, seed and Series A, and that will continue with this new fund, yes?
Exactly.
One of the things in talking about this announcement earlier this week with some folks at Serena, I had the chance to discuss a little bit about the notion of the operation team that Serena has been building and which you're a part of. And so I really wanted to kind of focus a little bit on that tonight. And so to help set some context, I'm wondering if you can kind of present yourself and your background a little bit and how you kind of came to be working with Serena.
Yeah. So we call it the operating team, not the operation teams, because we are going to focus on operating with the entrepreneur we support. And just to introduce myself very briefly, before I joined Serena last year, I've been an entrepreneur myself for 20 years. And this is the way we define operating partners at Serena. Every one of us, the operating partners, we have entrepreneur experience. And so looking at what I've done and what I've achieved, I've been the CEO and co-founder of several startups. I've started an internet access provider in the year 2000. I've also started a voice over IP software, but Skype-like software, but we focusing in France while they focused on addressing the whole world, which was definitely the best solution. So we were wrong. And then we pivoted the company and started a marketplace focusing on professional to consumer services. So what I mean is that I've started several companies. I've been CEO. Therefore, I went through roadshows, fundraising, scaling, international expansions, partnership, acquisition, exit, etc., several times, which means I've been wrong several times, but I had some success. And that is why I had probably the opportunity to be a good sparring partner with the entrepreneur we support at Serena.
When did you come to work with Serena, and did they approach you, or was this something that you came to talk to them about?
I honestly crossed paths with them at a moment where I was thinking of the future. So I've been an entrepreneur for 20 years. I had several experiences, and more recently I've got involved as a board member or advisor with several startups. And I realized that I was very happy when I was helping entrepreneurs building their own companies and sharing my experience with them and trying to make sure that they avoid the mistakes that I've done, that I've made. So I crossed paths with Serena because I've heard about the operating team that and the operating dispositive process that they have implemented during the last years. And it was really interesting because that was really the first time that I was hearing about that. Usually a fund to me was bringing money and that's it. And that was the first time that I had a discussion with guys saying, well, we bring money, but it's not enough. We want to help and we want to support the entrepreneurs on the journey and make sure that they achieve their objectives and realize their dreams. And I was asking, are you doing that? And they explained me how they've implemented the operating dispositive process. And they offered me to join Serena to become an operating partner. And I was sure that that was a good idea for me.
And so let's talk about specifically what that means. In terms of the operating team, what is your role and how do you work with the startup?
So to explain what we're doing today and the main objective, if we try to summarize what we are doing, the best way is probably to say that we just make sure they don't waste time relearning everything. I mean, there are methodologies, there are best practice. Most of the problems they are facing, we've been facing them, or sometimes the other companies of our portfolio have faced them. So sharing experience, best practice, asking questions, not reinventing everything, those are the main problems we are focusing on. So we just make sure that they focus on what they do the best, and we enable and we liberate all their potential by bringing them solutions when they are looking to address something new. So for instance, if you have to scale, then you would have to hire sales forces and you will have to bring more and more salespeople and onboard them and make sure that they sell your product. Those things seem to be very easy, but it's not when you've done it, when you have not done it, sorry. And we just bring them methodology, tooling, and we introduce them to the good experts when it's necessary, just to make sure that, again, they are not going to reinvent everything. They will just apply the good methodology and not waste time. And so to do that, we have several tools that we are bringing our entrepreneurs and our company's portfolio. So we bring them tools to make sure that they can talk together. Again, the main idea of the operating team is to make sure that they share best practice. So we put in place a community addressing all the C-levels of our companies. So we are not addressing only the founders or the CEOs. We are addressing the whole C-level community. And we have 450 C-levels in our Serena squad, which is our community of C-levels. And we bring them tools so that they can ask each other the way they've addressed a problem, the way they've addressed the commercial scale or the US setup or the marketing stack they are using to make sure that they avoid wasting time on discovering everything and directly applying the good solution. So if you have a question, you usually start by asking the community. It usually takes only 30 minutes to get a very, very good answer and very practical answer to your problem. And usually there are more answers in the hour to come. And what we do at the operating is we identify those kind of subjects. And when there is room for methodology or best practice, we organize event, workshop to make sure that we have the good experts talking about the good methodology and the tools that they are using. And then ourselves, the operating partners, we work with the entrepreneurs and with the C-levels to make sure that they apply those methodologies the good way. And so we spend time with them, making sure that they go directly and straight to the point.
So when Serena is considering investing in a company, is it the venture partner who primarily works on that process and then will bring you in after the firm has decided to invest? Or do you also participate in work of identifying possible startups and making those decisions about investing or not investing?
So your question is a very good one. For sure, the investment is the venture part and the investing part. So investing partners are the one working with the entrepreneur to find the good way and to find the good solution for the investment. So they are looking at the company, they are looking to the business model, they are discussing with the entrepreneurs what would be the good strategy, their rollout strategy, etc. And when they decide to make the investment, for sure they decide to make the investment. For sure, during that process, they discuss with us, because sometimes one of the operating partners has already started a company similar to the ones that we are considering. Or they would like to have our feedback on the market because probably we know it. So we participate for sure to the process, but this is the investment partner decision, not the operating one. And that is where this is interesting, because we do not take the decision. And when the decision is taken and the investment is made, then we are all on the boat, on the same boat with the entrepreneur. And we, the operating partners, are not dealing with what to do. We are dealing with how to do that. So the strategy is discussed with investing partners, while the rollout strategy, the execution, is discussed with the operating partners. And that makes we are focusing on the good things, both of us.
And so at that point, my understanding is that then the firm will decide to essentially match the startup once the investment decision has been taken with an operating partner to complement the venture partner. So how does that decision work? Is there a list of startups and you get to sort of choose, or is there a process for deciding which operating partner makes the most sense for each startup?
Yes, this is exactly the way it works. We get part of a process, and at that moment, the investment partner identifies within the operating team who is the operating partner that has the experience that would be the most interesting to help to support the entrepreneur. And when this is done, so usually we have a discussions with the operating team, with investment partner, and we decide who is the good one. So we help during the process, and when the investment is done, we are introduced to the team, to the founders team, and there is a process that we usually apply. And if you're okay, I can describe it.
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, so what we usually starts with what we call an immersion. So we have a whole process that I'm going to describe. So it first starts with what we call an immersion. And the operating partner, and sometimes with an expert of a team, we are going to spend 1 or 2 days with the C-level of a company. And we are going to spend 1 hour with each of them and meet as many people as we can meet during those 1 or 2 days. The idea there is just to ask 2 questions. Understand their role and understand what could be the key challenge to address during the next 2 or 3 years that are to come. And asking those questions and meeting all those people during 1 or 2 days, we manage usually to have a 360 feedback that is very interesting to them, because they have the opportunity to have an outside regard to their company, and we identify some issues, some subjects they have to tackle, and we usually suggest some workshop or some way we could work together to help them addressing it directly and go again, go straight to the point. So this is usually how the journey starts. It helps us meet the founders and the C-levels. It helps the C-level to understand what they can find within the operating team. And we introduce them to the whole tools that they can use. So usually they start asking the community, they get support from it, they take part to workshop, and we organize with them for the 6 months to come the workshop that we could work with them and bringing experts up and help them tackling those problems.
And so that's fascinating. So then I imagine when Serena's looking for a founder or a startup, it must be important that they have that the startup and founder have a very collaborative mindset to be open to that kind of relationship, as well as being open to participating in the Serena squad that you were describing, to have that sort of spirit of wanting to share and learn and maybe not thinking, well, I have all the answers, I just need some money.
Yeah, exactly. It's usually a good signal when you have entrepreneurs that have that kind of spirit and that are open-minded. Again, and sometimes, and I've been doing the mistake myself, so I can talk about that very easily. You sometimes believe that you have to know how to implement a marketing stack, how to generate leads, how to organize webinars, how to deal with user acquisition, how to deal with scale-up, etc. Fact is, we have never trained. We have never been trained to that. We can't invent all those things. And many people have gone through all those problems and processes by the past. And you will waste time if you don't try to meet the good persons, and if you focus on your company and finding your answers, you will definitely waste time and money. And so when we meet with founders and C-levels and we understand that they have that spirit, usually that's a very good signal.
And so let me take a step back then. In general, when we're talking about this model of venture capital and including operating partners such as yourself, what is the hope in terms of the overall venture firm and the funds? Is there a strong belief, and has there been a track record, that this approach improves the returns for investors and leads to a greater number of successes among the startups?
Yes, for sure. Because if you look at Serena, for instance, the operating team does represent approximately 50% of the whole staff. So that's quite huge, and we probably are the only one fund in France with that kind of structure. So that's a huge investment, and in face with this investment, there is an objective of ROI that is very important to us. So if you look at the fund Serena 2, the performance was the good one, a very good one. And that's probably because of that that we've managed to raise Serena 3 and the 300 million euros. And then because of the performance that we managed to achieve at Serena. And the managing partners truly believe that by making sure that entrepreneurs are not wasting time reinventing everything again, because this is really the truth. The efficiency is better. You don't waste money. You don't waste time, and you go straight forward. So that's definitely what we are believing.
So of course we've seen this model start several years ago, maybe more than a decade ago, in Silicon Valley. Notably with firms such as Andreessen Horowitz. Here in Europe and here in France, how widespread is this model? And do you see it potentially becoming more popular in the coming years?
Yes, it is definitely becoming more and more popular. And investment funds are looking to find a way to differentiate from the others. We all want to have the opportunity to support the successful entrepreneurs for sure. And money with one fund or with the other could sometimes taste the same. And so the question is also to differentiate from one fund to the other. And definitely our strategy is to make sure, and the DNA at Serena is really entrepreneurship. So it's like we support entrepreneurs, but we are trying to be entrepreneurs ourselves. So definitely, if you look at the other funds in France today, more and more are talking about operating partners. Sometimes when you talk about operating partners, you have support. So you have operating supports like human resources support for recruiting, hiring people. You can have some experts. But the main difference at Serena is that we consider that operating partners are entrepreneurs. And we must have at least two or three we must have created ourselves two or three startups. The reason why is we want to make sure that we have gone through. We want to make sure that we failed many times, and because we failed, we've learned from that, and we can share this experience with the entrepreneurs that we are supporting. So definitely, that decision to have operating partners that are entrepreneurs, that have been entrepreneurs themselves, it's a huge differentiation from the other ones. So we are not only providing entrepreneurs with support, with expertise, we are also bringing them our experience.
And in that sense, since I've been in France for almost 6 years, I think that's something I've heard entrepreneurs tell me repeatedly that they really appreciate is those candid stories of people sharing not just their learning, but things that went wrong and kind of how they learned about that. Because I think going back a few years, there seemed a real fear and a stigma in talking about that here to say, hey, look at me. Here's what I did wrong. Here's what I learned from it. Nobody liked to admit that things didn't go perfectly. But as we know, in startups and entrepreneurships, lots of things go wrong. And the key is often how you overcome those things. Do you see that culture changing here as well? Are people more comfortable, or is that still something hard for the entrepreneurs that you work with, is that hard for them to hear and be sort of honest about?
Yes, this is true. I mean, this is not entrenched mindset to be okay with failure and problems, etc. Seems to us that when we fail, we are not doing the good things, and sometimes when you are a young CEO, you think you have to have all the solutions and to show the way to the team and to your team. This is not the truth. And fortunately, mindset is changing, and the good way. And people understand that the way to success is not the easy one. And the ones that are going to succeed are the one that are going to focus and to keep on standing up when there is a problem. You fail, then you stand up again and you move forward and you move on and you pivot, etc. What is interesting in my experience is that usually we started, I've talked about Wengo, which is a voiceover IP software. I've started in 2004. We started as a voiceover IP software, so software for telecommunication. And we failed because just we were not able at this time to understand that the market was the world and not only France. And during the same time, Skype has managed to, when we got 7 million users, and we were very happy with that, we're very proud, they managed to have 250 million users with the same cost, etc. So we have lost. And at this time, we could stop the company or just think that what was important to us was to manage to find a way to make our enterprise survive and find the good solution. And so we've decided to pivot. And pivoting, this is something that we've heard more and more recently. And people knows that some company has to pivot. And in the mindset of the young entrepreneurs that we meet today, they know that. They know that sometimes when you face with a problem and sometimes it's there, when there's no issue, you have to pivot, and that's okay. And so the mindset is definitely changing. This is for good, for sure.
I'd like to encourage anyone, if they have a question that they would like to ask, to go ahead and click on the little hand down below and wave at us, and we'll bring you up. If you don't have questions, we have one or two more, but then we'll be moving on into our next two stories as well. But if you want to ask a question, do raise your hand.
David, then, just to follow up with that, I imagine as you've worked as an operating partner, those kind of decisions about making a pivot have got to be the most difficult with an entrepreneur to really get them to sort of acknowledge the reality and to understand also that not just becoming depressed and sort of frozen, but to then take action has got to be difficult, because even if failure is a part of this game, it's never easy, I would imagine.
This is honestly the most important, interesting part of my job today. I mean, sometimes you have that kind of discussions with the entrepreneurs, and there are those moments where you just, you know, leave the image, the all the good talking, etc., and you just tell the truth. And when you share the situation you face yourself with them, sometimes it just helps to understand that, well, it happens, and that's not a problem, and you can manage to transform that and make a success anyway. So that definitely is one of the reasons I'm very happy to be an operating partner today.
Daniela, welcome up to stage.
Thank you, Ethan. Actually, I didn't have a question. I wanted, first of all, to mention to you a VC called Antler. I don't know if you heard of it. Antler, I believe it has Swedish origins. The headquarters are in Singapore. They're very strong promoters of the model that you have discussed today. And they have branches all over the Europe. I believe they don't have in France. They do have in Germany, in the Netherlands, I believe, and in a few other places. I think that what David has just shared with us is a very good supporting structure. I think it's very important for entrepreneurs to have mentors and to have a place where to go and where to get help. I'm a little bit concerned with this model, and it's an existing model, I'm aware of it, with regards to innovation. I think that thinking outside of the box is also a very important thing when you're trying to create something new and something innovative.
Danielle, thank you so much. You are totally right. I mean, and that is the reason why I have white hair. I don't know if you can see that in my picture, but definitely I have white hair. And I have 20 years of entrepreneurship and several companies, again, before my, in my experience. Why is that important? It is important because their company is not mine. And it's like when you have children and you know that they have to do their own experience. And even sometimes when you tell them they should not touch because they are going to burn themselves, you know that if they don't burn themselves, I mean, they won't learn. And if they don't have their experience, they won't find their solution. So that is indeed the exact reason why the operating partner at Serena as experience, because we don't mix our experience with their experience, and we are fascinated with innovation. So what we want to do with them, sometimes there are things where innovation innovating in putting in place sales forces. I don't see that really happening. Sometime, well, the best can give people is to focus on users' needs. And when we talk about methodology, and there is one that I really love, which is customer-centric selling, is the reason we love that methodology is just because we explain to the entrepreneurs that they have to focus on customers' needs. And if they are customer-centric, then they are not going to promote the features of the product. They are going to think about usage scenarios. So innovation can be in the product. Innovation can be in the management. Innovation can be in the way of addressing the market, etc. And usually, at the stage where we support the entrepreneur, they have some very interesting ideas that we believe in. And the reason why it's also very important that this is a decision of the investment partner is that they are the one to do bets. And we are not betting. They are betting. And they are believing into the entrepreneur choice. And we are just going to make sure that we can liberate all the potential. So definitely you're right. We need to be very careful with the advice that we can give and make sure that we don't make them taking our decision. No. We just have to help them taking their good decision.
Thank you, David. Yeah, I'm very happy to hear what you just said. I think it's very important. I think also it goes to the toolbox, because I think methodology, and especially in France is a country which goes by methodology, it lives by methodology, and it's very important for science and for everything else. But in terms of entrepreneurship, and I am an Israeli in this room, I can say that in Israel, we have flourishing ecosystem because people dare and people don't follow the rules. And sometimes it can bring some interesting results as well.
Definitely.
David, thank you so much for all of that. We're going to have a couple more stories we're going to kind of talk about. And if you have input on those, I'd love for you to jump in as well. One of the things that we really want to do is we open up the French Tech to the Anglophone world and make sure that people know about the amazingness of this ecosystem and things going on, is to celebrate the successes. So it's not been a lot until recently that I could talk about French Tech successes and blockchain in the same sentence. But 2 weeks ago, rewards platform that's blockchain based called Surprise, it was acquired by the largest kind of e-commerce reputation opinion site that manages all of that for the large e-commerce companies in Europe. So that was a cool one. And then today we have the announcement that So Rare, which is it's for soccer, for digital card collecting and playing. It's a platform that does a lot of different things around kind of the fantasy football scenario and allowing people to organize their interest in that. But what's they've added the layer in then is just dealing everything with digital collectibles using non-fungible tokens. And yesterday, they announced they've raised $50 million for their Series A, which is fantastic. But also the fact that it comes from Benchmark, it comes from Excel. And it also has people like Barcelona's Antoine Griezmann. You've got Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian from his 776 Capital. And even Gary Vaynerchuk jumped in on this one. So this is a pretty cool all-star funding of a French company. And it happens to be in the blockchain economy, which I find pretty cool to see France finally getting to move forward a little in that space. Chris, what else did you want to talk about with this story?
Well, I would just echo what you were saying. I think France has been pointing to a blockchain as a growing strength, not just in the crypto sense, but in the sort of larger opportunity there to use that kind of trust, that transparency, that security around data to build into other areas. That's been something we've seen both at the national level with the government sort of emphasizing this with events like Blockchain Week and the advocacy of the French Tech Mission and France Digital. So yes, it's interesting to see those areas start to sort of blossom a little bit, because I think if we see a trend here in France increasingly. There's a real competence and a growing ecosystem around the handling of data in general. So maybe blockchain is a little adjacent to that, but for me, that question of the different ways of treating data, managing it and really leveraging it, I sort of tend to put that as a part of that category. So it's great to see that get greater recognition internationally. And on that note, to see those investors coming in, that's obviously another big theme, the arrival of more international investors. So I think that's always a good thing to see happening here. And that, of course, increases the competition, makes life maybe more interesting and challenging for like people at Serena, who are sort of the home team in a sense. But I think it's certainly healthy to see that growth and to see that expansion of international recognition. So hopefully we'll continue to see more and more of that.
Igor, thank you for joining us. You have a comment?
Hi, Ethan. Yeah, I just wanted to jump on the Solar news because I've been following them quite closely for the past 2 years. And I actually spoke with their co-founder earlier today on Clubhouse. I would just like a confirmation, if you have it, that it is the largest Series A in French tech history, if I'm not mistaken. And also, I would like maybe to ask David, since he is here with us, what he makes of those very promising French startups going international with their fundraising as soon as seed and Series A, whether he thinks that maybe French venture capital funds should have the right to invest in such startups, some kind of preferential right, some kind of national preference for VC funds when they want to invest in the most promising French companies.
That's a very interesting question, Igor. I'm not going to give Serena's position. I'm going to give my position. I believe that there's competition and that's good for everyone. I mean, sometimes the entrepreneurs, they look for us at the beginning and look for foreigners to help them also addressing the other market and bring what they can bring to the company. So definitely, we need to support the companies on that kind of stories and that kind of opportunities. But we have to do the best for the entrepreneurs and we have to fight against competition and make sure that we have the right choice for the entrepreneur. I don't believe that giving the opportunity to French funds to support French companies is a good way to do that. There's competition and that's okay for me. And if we have to become the best, then let's do that.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Igor. Continuing on the idea of some interesting stories this week, the next one that Chris wanted to highlight is, I'm not really sure whether to call him France's Steve Jobs or Elon Musk. I'm not sure which one is more friendly or positive to use. But Xavier Niel, who is our resident tech billionaire, who has created a ton of amazing projects to help the ecosystem, one of those being Ecole 42, the 42 school, which is a free coding school, which has produced a tremendous amount of really brilliant developers that are powering a lot of France's young startups now. It's a 3 to 4 year program that's basically, well, it's a long story to go into all the details, but it's free. And so he is now financing a free agriculture school. Chris, do you have more details?
In fact, we don't have a lot of details. It looks like, they have not officially announced this, except the name is going to be Hector, and it's going to be in the Chevreuse Valley in the Yvelines department. So I'm guessing that's probably about an hour southwest of Paris. And, it was reported by Capital.fr today. They bought some land with a partner to create some kind of agricultural school. And they're still being somewhat secretive about it, but we know that there's going to be about 2,000 students there. And I think what the questions I've already seen on Twitter about this, and this will be interesting to see as it evolves, is just what they're going to do to distinguish this school from maybe other agricultural schools. Because, of course, in France, even at the lycée level, we have sort of the general high school, but then you have the sort of professional high school. And so you can go and get your education in sort of agricultural lycées and then at the university level as well. And there's quite a few of those already. So, you know, I'm looking to see more about what they think is lacking in that system. You know, I think the implication is obvious that given Xavier Niel's background in innovation and entrepreneurship, there's some speculation that there will be some strong digital component to that. And of course, again, in France and elsewhere, we've seen a big rise in agricultural startups using robotics and AI and sensors and all sorts of advanced IoT equipment to really try to revolutionize agriculture, as well as, you know, there's obviously a biotech component there as well, with how people are developing seeds, how they're raising and making hybrid plants, how they're breeding them to be more resistant. So some of the presumption is that, you know, it would make sense that this kind of school is going to be focused on those innovative aspects of agriculture. Like with the 42 Ecole that Ethan mentioned, this education is believed to be free. So that's obviously great to hear. But yeah, so I'll be looking to see a bit more details when they're ready to reveal it. But again, you know, it just speaks to the Xavier Niel's ambition to do big things. And, you know, when he steps into a domain, it really gets everybody sort of talking about why he's doing it and what's going on. So I'm also interested always to see those larger conversations get started about how things can be reinvented in France and who can make that happen.
I think it is, it's an interesting story, because if it parallels in any way what they've done with Ecole 42, it could be fun to see how they maybe not reinvent, but reimagine agriculture education. Because with Ecole 42, they really approached it from the idea of, you know, how does a 13-year-old kid learn how to program? Why can people become extremely proficient developers without actually going to school? And so there are no professors at Ecole 42. There's just problems and tasks and things to accomplish. You put into work groups, they give you all the resources you need, and then you have a guided path to just figure it all out. And because it's strategic and it's built over time, it creates extremely competent developers. Be interesting to see how they reimagine agricultural education. Thank you, Chris. And thank you, David, for joining us this evening.
Yeah, thank you again, David.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me, and bye, everyone.
Thank you, everyone, and have a great night.
Want more news and stories from France's incredible innovation ecosystem and its entrepreneurs? Subscribe to the French Tech News with Chris and Ethan on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and switch on notifications to be informed of new episodes as soon as they are released. You can connect with Chris and me on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Clubhouse. I am at Ethan Pierce, that's E-T-H-A-N-P-I-E-R-S-E, and Chris O'Brien is at O'Brien, O-B-R-I-E-N. Let us know if there are guests that you would like to see on the interview podcast or Clubhouse, as well as any stories that we should take a look at. As always, thank you for listening, and see you next time.